بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the way in which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم differentiated in terms of his leadership, looking at his seerah. And we looked at various incidents of the seerah. Today I want to look at one other incident, which is from the Battle of Uhud. Every incident of the life of Rasulullah that I see and I look at looks as if it is unique in itself. Alhamdulillah. Now take the Battle of Uhud. We know what led to it and what happened in it, and how things were in the beginning and how they turned, the whole tide of battle turned against the Muslims. And in that process, Rasulullah himself was grievously injured, and he was injured so badly that he lost consciousness. He didn't completely lose consciousness, but he almost lost consciousness. He had suffered from concussion, and he was carried up on the side of the mountain of Uhud. He was bleeding profusely. Abu Sufyan came, and there was a rumor that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had died, he had been killed. So Abu Sufyan came and he called out and he said, "Is it true that Muhammad is dead?" Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu shouted back and he said, "No, he's not dead, he's alive. Alhamdulillah." So then Abu Sufyan said that, "I have not ordered for the bodies to be mutilated, and those that have been mutilated, I am not sorry about it also." So that's where it was. At that time, the Sahaba were obviously, they were upset and angry with what happened in the battle. But far more than that, they were very upset and they were very angry and they were very sad that Rasulullah himself had been so badly injured. And what added to that was that there was no reason to personally assault Rasulullah. You know, to injure him. I mean, what was the whole thing about? What is it? What was his crime? What is he supposed to have done? Despite that, even though he did not harm anybody, even though his intention was only good, he was injured. So they said, "Ya Rasulullah, please make dua against these people. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should destroy them, because this is the limit. There is nothing beyond this. They tried to kill you, they almost succeeded. Alhamdulillah, biznillahi ta'ala, that didn't happen, but not because they didn't try. So please make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should destroy them." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reclining against a rock. He sat up and he raised his hands. Now imagine that situation, imagine that scene. The Sahaba know from the revelation of the Quran that many Anbiya made dua against the rebellious people that they were sent to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped out those people. And here they had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also to make a similar dua, and he was now sitting up and he had raised his hands. So what must have been the atmosphere at that time? It is almost as if the whole world is stopped breathing in anticipation to see what the Nabi will say, alayhi salam. So what did he say? He said, "Allahumma hadi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun." He said, "Oh Allah, guide my people, because they do not know what they do." Allahumma hadi khawmi. He says, oh Allah, guide my people, for they do not know what they do. He didn't say, oh Allah, destroy them, punish them. He said, guide them. Now, what I keep on thinking about, and I say it many times, and I'll say it many times again, is that in any situation, any human being is always affected by his environment. Right? That's why we talk about childhood conditioning, we talk about the importance of changing the kind of society we live in, we talk about changing our home atmosphere, because it has an effect. Positive or negative, it has an effect. There is nobody who can claim to say that I am living in an atmosphere which is negative, but I am positive. It won't be. You will be positive up to a point. Beyond this, it will drag you down. And vice versa. Nobody can be in a positive environment and then continue to be negative. It won't. Eventually, the atmosphere affects you. But in the case of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I always wonder, how is it that this man, he was in Makkah, 13 years of persecution and merciless persecution. I mean, without any let up, relentless. Yet, his own behavior, the way he dealt with people, the way he responded to people, was always positive. Continuously. He was always kind, he was always polite, he was always giving, he was always generous. He never retaliated, he never took revenge. And that continued. He continued throughout his life. And this incident from Ghazwat al-Uhud is a classic example of that. Here he has been injured, so there is physical injury, there is emotional injury, there should be righteous anger at what has happened. But you don't see any sign of that. At that time, he's asking for forgiveness for the people. He's asking for hidayat for the people. He's asking for guidance for the people. When he says, guide my, oh Allah, guide my people, what is he asking for? He's asking for Jannah for them. What is guidance? Guidance is Jannah. Somebody injures you, somebody tries to kill you, you are saying, oh Allah, give him Jannah. This is the meaning of differentiation. Differentiation is to do what nobody else will do. Today, our biggest so-called excuse for bribery, for corruption, for lying, for cheating, for all the haram that we are involved in, what is our biggest excuse? Log abhi kar rahe na sab. So which karte na sab. Ye bolte nahi bolte. What is the biggest excuse? No, everybody does it, no? This is our society. My contention is that is directly opposite of differentiation. You are saying, I want to be like everybody else. And I am saying to you that you should be unlike everybody else. If you want to stand out, if you want to be a leader, if you want to do something good for yourself, do what nobody else will do. Stand out, be unlike other people. Not like everybody. If you are like everybody, then you are the same garbage. I mean, how are you different? Tell me. Why should anyone follow you? Why should anybody listen to you? You are like anybody else. But this is the excuse we give. We do all kinds of ostentatious nonsense in our weddings. You ask them, why did you do that? No, but you know, everybody does it. Hare? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us to do what everyone else does? Or did Allah say, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas? Which one? Now this is what Rasulullah himself exemplified in his life. He did what nobody else does. If you look at the trend, if you look at the culture of Makkah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's culture was not the culture of Makkah. He was from Makkah. He was born in Makkah, grew up in Makkah. He lived in Makkah. But his personal culture was completely different from the culture of Makkah. And that is why today, 1400 years later, we are sitting here talking, taking his name, speaking about him. We don't speak about the people of Makkah who were in that culture. Huh? When have you heard a lecture on the Fadail of Abu Lahab? Business strategy of Abu Jahl? No, why you should? That should also be there. No, why should it not be there? I'm sorry, there was something in those people also. It's not. They were not epitomes of evil. They were businessmen. We don't talk. We say, oh, was he a good businessman or not? He was. So why don't we talk about that? Nothing to stand out. Same old thing. I mean, they, like him, there were 20,000 other people. Who cares? Who cares? Even the good ones. Take Abu Talib. How many times have you heard one jalsa and a lecture on the goodness of Abu Talib? Have you heard? Abu Talib gets mentioned, by the way, when you are talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, he used to support him. That's it. Differentiation and standing out is your choice. Leadership is a personal choice. Nobody thrusts it upon you. Nobody can force you. But if you want to stand out, if you want to be remembered, if you want to have a legacy, if you want to do make some sadaqatul jariyah for yourself, do what nobody else will do, and do it in a way which is beneficial, which is dignified, and which is graceful. Not in a freaked out way. And that is what Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrates and exemplifies in his life. How to be different in a positive way, which is beneficial for all concerned. That is the example that he is showing us. So even when it gets to an extreme point where he is personally injured and so on and so forth, the dua that he makes is for Jannah, for the people who injured him. Guidance for the people who injured him. This is the dua. And that's why today, seriously, we can go and say, find me one example like this in the world. Those who followed him, alhamdulillah, they did that. But a handful of people, and that's what shows that if we follow that example, that is an example of success. That is the example of success. No, I mean, think about this. You know, people, if we look at how did he become successful, even in a worldly sense, here was a person without any resources, without any supporters, no political power, no political authority. How did he change that entire environment, and how did he become the leader of all the people around him? Without money? Without an army? How did he do that? By himself, by his own personal character, by demonstrating that he was not like everybody else. And that example was so beautiful that people followed him. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said, tell the people, you want Allah to love you, what must you do? Make the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. That is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to follow that and to bring the barakah of that in our lives. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِيهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.